We are looking at the Antichrist. Say with me, the Antichrist. When he became born again, what he received was an eternal spirit by God, who is a spirit. So how will man be able to undo what God, who is a spirit, has done? It goes as much to show us that we need to pay attention to the teaching about Christ in the local assembly, which ought to be the message of the church, really. Are we together? It's easy to be carried away by what people say. Like I said on Wednesday, it's an expression or a show that you did not have a conviction from time. If I come tomorrow and tell you that salvation is not once saved, forever saved, and you believe me, it means you never believe what I was teaching from time. That's me. Paul will say, if any other person, or even not, should preach any gospel different from what we've preached unto you, let him be what? Accursed. The word they accursed means to be separated. Don't go close to. So we said, the Antichrist can never have an effect on a believer, but the teaching of the Antichrist can have an effect on the knowledge or the mind of a believer. We said that there's only one author in Scripture that uses the word Antichrist, and his name is who? John. Jesus never used Antichrist. Peter never used Antichrist. Paul never used Antichrist. Why are we using this teaching or doing this teaching? Is to show us how John used Antichrist. And we'll find out that John never used Antichrist for a person who will arise in any time of life, but a people who will preach a message that is contrary to the message of Christ. Like I said, you understand the antivirus you want to design by having a proper understanding of the virus in your computer. Are we together? You understand the viral antivirus. So, I'm a software engineer, I want to design antivirus. You must understand what the virus is about, what the virus causes. So, to understand the Antichrist, you must understand who? Christ. Praise God. Matthew 15:9. It says, and in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I'll read that one more time. Are you there? In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. Now, we explained over time that there's such a thing as vain worship and what? True worship. There is the vain worship and there's a true worship. Matthew's Gospel 15, verse 9. There is the vain worship and there's a true worship. Now, we said that the vain worship is found as the doctrines for commandments for men. That's Matthew's Gospel 15, 9. So, when you see the doctrines of men being taught, right? We call that what? Vain. That means teaching is an act of worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teaching is an art or an act of worship. So when I'm teaching you God's word, it's an act of worship. Because worship will be found. Now, remember I said something over time. Worship is not about the slow song you sing on Sunday morning. Are we together? Worship is not about the slow song you sing in your morning devotion. Then praise is the one that is and everybody's removing their shoe and come on laying. Yeah? No. That is the same thing, praising God in the real sense, offering worship as words or with words about what he has done. So, you will only worship well to the degree in which you know well. So, if you don't know well, you can't worship well. Hallelujah. If you don't know well, you can't worship well, because worship is an act. Because there's a tendency for you to worship God with the doctrines of men. Praise God. Look at 2 Timothy. There's a true worship. There's the vain worship. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. See what Paul says to Timothy. Are you there? 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. If you're there, say I'm there. Lovely. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What's the charge? It's in verse 2, right? What's the charge? Let's read verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read together, everybody. Verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reproof, exhort with all longsufferings and doctrine. Now, it says, preach the word in season, out of season. What does that mean? Paul is telling Timothy that when they don't want to hear it, preach the word. When they want to hear it, preach the word. So Paul tells Timothy by extension to us. He says, preach the gospel So my message will not change in the year of politics or in the year of election. Are we here? Paul says, in season, out of season, preach the word. God's word, not the words of men. Now, if Paul says preach the word in season, out of season, can we say preach the word into bracket the doctrine of Christ? Can we say preach the word, I mean the doctrine of Christ, not the doctrines of men? We can say that, right? So can we say preach the word into bracket the doctrine of Christ, not the doctrines of the commandments of men? What did I do? I used Matthew 15 in second what? Timothy. So he says, when they want to hear it, why is Paul giving this admonition? Now, none of us lived to see Peter and Timothy. But yet, Paul will tell Timothy, that means the each, okay, look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not what? When they will not what? They will not what? Endure sound doctrine. The word they endure is the word that means to endure. That means sound doctrine ought to be endured. What is sound doctrine? It's a wholesome meal. A full meal. A full meal. The meal you eat. Remember, I give this example. When you eat rice and beans on Monday morning, you don't say, beans, increase this place. As I'm eating you like this, increase here. Rice, increase here. Stew, increase here. You don't do that. Then protein, make my heart pump. You don't do that. What do you do to grow? You submit yourself to a balanced diet and you what? You grow. So you ought to just submit yourself. Why did he use the word enduring? Because it's not every time you want to hear. So what is sound doctrine? It's a wholesome doctrine. That means always give yourself to hear God's word. In season, out of season. He says they will heap to the, look at verse 4. Verse 3, it says, but they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves certain types of teachers because of their itching ears. The you in you is bigger than the you that we see. That's what you want to hear. You are a bomb waiting to explode, Sister Prosperous. You see, your name is Prosperous, and there's something God has put upon your life that will make you prosper. God's word is not enough for you again. God's word that you are complete is not okay for you. So it says, a time will come, they will not endure. That means this enduring of doctrine I'm talking about did not start today. Are we together? It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the what? Oh, let's read verse 4 together. 1, 2, 3, go. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned. Are we together? So Paul says they need to endure sound doctrine. Look at chapter 2 before you get to chapter 4. You know you have read chapter 4 right now, right? Look at chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto what? More ungodliness, and their words will eat as doth a canker. We said on Wednesday, the word there, canker, is the word that you have, is the root word you have, that word cancer. Now, how does cancer destroy people? It doesn't usually look like it from the surface. But he's dealing with you what? Inside. That's what Paul is saying. Some people's words are like that. They look unharmful. You know, the best way to serve poison is in the midst of a food. A sweet food. Or a food that seems to be sweet. Have you poisoned somebody before? Because the way he corrected me was too hard. It was as if he was thinking of it and he just knew what to say. Yeah? The best way, poison is never served alone. Because you will easily know. You have to put it in the mist or as a mix. So what is Paul saying? He's saying it will not look like it. In fact, when you eat it, you will not know the effects first until a while. He says their words do eat like canker, like cancer. He says their words eat like canker. He says, he now mentions names of preachers that have those kind of cancerous messages. Is it in your Bible? What are their names? Hymenos and what? Philetus, right? He now says, this is what they say. Verse 18, who concerning the truth they've heard, saying, that means they've gone into error, saying that the resurrection is past already, and by this they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, hallelujah, the foundation of the God standeth sure, having this seal. We explained that on Wednesday. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The them that are his are not about people, but their doctrine. Are we together? Let me say it better. You can be saved and be teaching false doctrine. Are we together? And when you are saved, you are forever saved. But you are teaching false doctrine. So what does the Lord know? Definitely the Lord knows the believer. You see, there's never a time where the Lord will say to the believer, I knew you not. It's never your testimony. It's never a testimony. Once you get saved, you are saved forever. You are in God's hand forever. You are forever there, doggedly there. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Romans 8. You cannot undo salvation. It's an eternal work by an eternal spirit. God is greater than all. And once he says, I've given you my spirit, that's the end. Now, why do we come to church? To have an understanding of that and to have an understanding of how to conduct ourselves with that salvation. Are we together? So, we don't say that because people are sinning because of salvation, or salvation, we should stop teaching. No. The remedy to that they are sinning is the message we should stop. You know, a lot of people bramble all these Osas preachers. You know what Osas is now, right? Once saved, always saved. Right? I'm a proud Osas. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm forever an Osas. I cannot insult God. I'm not big enough to insult God, that what God will do, a man can undo it. I'm not that big. Right? So I just listen to God's word and I just say, I agree. So a lot of people bamboozle us and tell us, you are giving people license to sin. Brandon, do I work in road safety? The last you heard of me, was it road safety related part? I don't give people license to sin. The Lord knoweth then that are his, that is this doctrine. He says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. So let those who are saved, what is the iniquity there? Lying? False doctrine. Look at Philippians 3. Philippians 3 verse 18. We looked at this on Wednesday. We're trying to build a case. Philippians 3 18. We're looking at examining or explaining scriptures, the Antichrist. Philippians 3 18. Look at verse 17. Are you there? Are you in verse 17? Look at what it says. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have also for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping. That means Paul is crying about what he's saying. He's saying that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, enemies of the cross of Christ, the Antichrist. You've gotten it right? Enemies of the cross of Christ. So, antivirus is the enemy of virus. Are we together? So, Antichrist will be the enemy of who? So, he says they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Let's read verse 19 together. He says, whose end, 1, 2, 3, go? Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? And whose glory is in their shame? Who mind earthly things? If you had read from previous verses, you know, when he says, which God or whose God is their belly, he's talking about materialistic preachers. Material, you know the doctrine of materialism? You know there's legalism. You know it's materialism. What is materialism? You hinge everything you teach around the fact that God wants to give you things. No matter what you teach, you must end with God is owing you. You will say it that way, but you must end with God is owing you. Right? So if God is owing you, there's some things you have to enact so that God will release it. You see, God is a very beautiful God. God is a lovely Father that despite man's unfaithfulness, he remains faithful. You know, I was somewhere yesterday and they were singing one song. They said, he's a promise keeper that changeth not or doesn't change his mind. We call God a promise keeper, a man who doesn't fail on his word. Say, God is not man that should lie. Yes, we told you that God said anybody that is saved, he saved forever. You say, no, Pastor, there's a line. Let's draw the fence. But what do we use those things for? Material things. What did he promise you? He has promised he will never fail. I will follow. My God has promised. What did he promise? That whosoever believes, John 3:16, shall never perish. That's a promise. He cannot fail. The one you want to hear is, they told you by this year, you will drive your car before December. Oh, my God has promised. He will never fail. You know, I always tell you, the answer, you know, think about it this way. If Bill Gates attends some of our meetings as Christians, he would think he is the God they are praying to. You don't think so? How many of you can Bill Gates not uplift? I'm sorry, I don't mean how many of you. How many of us can Bill Gates not uplift? How many of us can Bill Gates not be our breakthrough? We're even going to Bill Gates. Let's look at a Muslim Aliko. Who is here that can uplift Dangote? Let me ask you a question. Who is a believer in Nigeria that can uplift Dangote? Oh. Who is a believer in this world, in this Nigeria? Let's even say in this world. You know, if you look at the list of the top 10, 20 richest people, a lot of them are atheists. They don't even believe there is God. Talk about they say they give God send Jesus. You now want to believe that coming to church is to learn how to make what they don't pray about. Some of you, if Bill Gates comes to your meeting and just sits down, oh Lord, my destiny helper, let them locate me. He will just tap you, bro. It's not that hard. Your voice, you get high blood pressure fast. Your voice is too loud. You this your voice. Just say it gently. No, God is in your heart. Bill Gates will be teaching you doctrine. He said, God is not far from you, He's within you. In the morning, in the evening, then he'll be singing to you. Let me say it better. Bill Gates is the miracle a lot of churches need. Not a believer. But don't we need Bill Gates? I'm talking like this. So it means our service to God must not have materialistic attachments. You don't serve God because because he has supposedly promised to give you a contract. That's why I keep telling you something. If me and Bratemi, I'm his pastor, but imagine we are bidding for a contract, we are praying to the same God. In your heart of heart, if you are God, who will you answer? But we said, is that not partiality? I said, thank you. You know, pastor just said, let's come and just give that, sow that seed. So, some people, they go and read Psalm 115, I mean, 118, and put 2 zeros after. I said, there are 10 of you who God wants to, who God will want you to let go of your Isaac. They say, Isaac, you are bringing money, you are calling money. 10 of you, I've seen 10 of you. And by the time you look, when you see there are 10, you multiply 10, $1,150 by 10. There's still some of you that God is speaking to you in the congregation. Run out here. Don't even, you know, I've told you before, me, I've given, Mommy. I've given. I'll never forget the day we went to go and meet one minister that said we should come and sow seed. And then I was into seed ministry. My parents went to go and collect POS. Heavy money. They went to go and put their POS and collected it and said, we are giving. My dad says, giving on behalf of his family. Guess what your pastor said? He said, I said, Daddy, no, that one is for your family. I want to give for my family. Where is the POS? Till today, I have not seen the reward. Till today, because that money is something that when you see the reward, you will know now. I've not seen the reward. You're laughing, Brian. You know, there's the money you will give. When you see the reward, you will know you give the reward. How did I get that money? It's not because my parents had the money. Then in school, they used to give the top students money every year. For the level I was, it was, I think, 207,000. I'll be then. There was 500,000 for 5.0. I gathered everything, all my hand there saving. I had to go and put inside POS. When you see me talking the way I'm talking, I'm hot. See, it's easy for you to laugh. When you see me strong my face, I'm saying, it doesn't work. I'm hot. I know. Mommy, don't remind me of that one. Just remind me of one. I went for a meeting in the UK. No, I'm not going to say this one. I'm hot. No, I'm hot. I'm serious. My siblings can never forget. See, it got to the point that when the UK, my people, they started deliberately leaving money at home. Because they know if it goes to the church, we must drop it at least. Is that not the wisdom of God? They know that if they bring that money to church, eh, Joshua will want to say, let's pack it. That's where you are. I mean, I've said nonsense. So you see me talking like this. I'm not trying to be a standout pastor. I'm trying to save you. It's hurtful. No, it's painful. I went for a meeting, another meeting one day. I went to my very good friend. When it was time for the seed, people who cannot afford it, they went to sit down, sorry. Me, my friend was like this. That's the way to go out. I said, sorry, bro, excuse me. He said, in the toilet you they go. My friend, hey, why? I said, in the toilet you they go. I said, now the seed, I won't go drop. The seed was so heavy that I said, hey, but today I've not reaped it. This is 5 years ago. This was 2015 or 20. I've nothing has come. It's still coming. It's still coming. It's coming. It's coming. So when you see me talk like this, it's not because I want you to say, oh, that pastor is a new pastor. No, I'm saving you. When you want to give money, open your mind and you see, the Bible teaches about liberal, generous giving. There's nothing wrong in giving your 20% or giving 50% of your salary every month. Nothing is wrong in that, as long as you are not expecting anything. Nothing is wrong. You like pack your whole salary and say you give. That's why January is coming again now. The first fruit will come. You know, if you want your year to be fruitful, drop the first fruit. First what? Some people give their first fruit, they suffer to the next first fruit. Am I lying? When I'm talking like that, I'm not trying to make you look like this man has come again. He just wants to be a unique pastor. I'm not unique. I'm not the only one saying this. There's a place to give. That's what Paul was warning about. He says their belly is their God they are serving. When I mean belly, this is not the belly, right? Can we say their appetite? As a sign of their heart? Everything, money, money. God wants to make you rich. This week, money. Drop more money to get more money. That is scam. MMM. Ponzi scheme. It's Ponzi we do in the church. It's Ponzi. Giving is expressly taught in scriptures as an end, not a means to an end. Are we together? So he says, I'm warning you, crying. Paul is crying. Materialism gospel. It puts people in bondage. It's an antichrist message. Are we together? Look at Revelation 2. Look at Revelation 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church at Thyatira, write, this thing says the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. He says, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Now let's read verse 20 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. You know, I hope you know, John is not writing about a woman wearing short skirts. Are you in Revelations 2? Please hold your hands there and go to 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy 4. Just hold your hands in Revelation 2. You know, before you understand the book of Revelation, you have to understand the writings of the epistles, the writings of the life of Jesus, and by extension, the writings of the prophets and Moses. Right? Because Jesus never called Genesis to Malachi Old Testament. Jesus never called Genesis to Malachi Old Testament. Jesus never had the book of Galatians. His entire Bible was Genesis to Malachi. So everything about the Christian faith that Jesus taught was strictly from Genesis to Malachi. In fact, Matthew to Revelation, they were all written after Jesus died and resurrected. So throughout his ministry, his Bible was Genesis to Malachi. So Jesus called Genesis to Malachi the Word of God, not Old Testament. Genesis to Malachi is not Old Testament. Then Matthew knew. No. Genesis to Malachi is as much the Word of God as Matthew to Revelation. So when you see Genesis to Malachi, you approach it as God's Word. It means there is something in that writing that we ought to pay attention to. Not, that one is just old. Let's just leave that one. Jesus has come to establish the new. New what? Look at 1 Timothy 4. Look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Into bracket, women that wear short skirts. Is that what he's teaching? He can't be teaching women that wear short skirts now. Abi? So seducing spirit is the doctrines of what? Devils. So that word there, and, is the Greek word kai, which is used to explain what was said before. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship, right? You know the Bible doesn't say sweet, right? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean the love of God, I mean the fellowship of the Spirit. So the word there, and, is a word that is not always used for two different things, but explaining what was said before. So seducing spirits will be the doctrines of devils. He now tells you in verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. Now look at go back to Revelation 2. So when you see Jezebel, was there Jezebel a woman in the Bible? But with Jezebel a woman in the Bible become a doctrine? Careful. Look at verse 20 again. Revelation 2:20. Are you there? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Let me ask you a question. Is John writing to a church? Will John be writing to a church? Now, we've seen the consistency of who Peter warned about, who Paul warned about, right? And they warned about men who were against the message of the cross. So will Jezebel be a woman or a group of people? What do they do? A group of people in church. What do? They are teaching anti. An example we've used today is who? Hymenaeus and Philetus, now Timothy. So Hymenaeus and Philetus are part of the nation of Jezebel. You get that right? So Jezebel is not, that's why seducing spirit in 1 Timothy is not about people who wear short skirts and open their chest. No. It's about a doctrine. So that's why he now tells you, you permit Jezebel the prophet to teach. It is a figure of speech for a people who are permitted to teach in the body. He's not talking about girl in Revelation. Is too sensitive a book to be talking about warning about a girl. And you know the girls that dress the way they dress is because of today's fashion. Do you think they had the struggle of what we are struggling with today now? Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Thou allowed Jezebel. That means they gave room for the Antichrist in the local church. What is Antichrist? A person? A doctrine. Remember, I said something. Antichrist is a concept, not a person. Antichrist is a concept, not a person. Jesus never warned about a person. Acts, we saw that in the previous teaching, never warned about a person, but they warned about people. And it will be people that have a concept, a mindset, an orientation. So seducing people in the church. Seducing, now, so when Revelation 2:18 was saying, you allow Jezebel to preach, and by allowing her to teach, she's seducing. It makes a lot of sense, right? Because when you are teaching, if they are saying your seduction is based on your teaching, it means it's not your clothes. It's not your clothes. So how is Jezebel seducing? That means a man can be Jezebel. You get that? A man can be Jezebel. So don't use that. You see, a word only makes sense in the context in which it is used in the Bible. You need to visit the context to understand what is spoken about. So Revelation 2:18 will warn the church, or Jesus warned the church in Thyatira, that you give room to the prophetess who teaches, and in her teaching she seduces. How did Paul say it? He says, seducing spirit, that is the doctrines of the, what did he not tell you in verse 2? Speaking. So in their teaching, we find the seduction that turns away the hearts of men. So what does Jezebel do? Jezebel teaches. In Jezebel's teaching, Jezebel seduces. And when Jezebel seduces, men fornicate. Men fornicate. How do men fornicate? Men, is that men and women? Go to Hebrews 13. I hope you are following me this morning. Hebrews 13, let me explain fornication to you. This doesn't say that I don't like fornication again, no. I'm talking of Bible use of fornication in some context. Before you say, Pastor, I said nothing like fornication, it's about Christ and the church. I'm saying it, that's something you have to say. That's our next series. Are you there? Look at verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is on, but warmongers and adulterers God will judge. Look at James 4. Marriage is what? Honorable. Is Hebrews talking about man and woman marriage or Christ and church marriage? It has to be Christ and church marriage now. Are we here? Look at James. You've done a series on this. Look at verse 2. Ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Now we said, verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Have we thought that this is not about prayer? Yeah? Look at verse 3 again now. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. That is not prayer. He now tells you, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever will be a friend of God is a friend of the world, is the what? Enemy of God. So, adulteresses and adulterers in verse 4, is it people who fornicate in marriage? Yes and no. No, in that it's not me and my wife. But yes, in the fact that the bride, which is the church, is married to Christ, and Christ is not sufficient for you on the marriage bed, and you what? Listen to seducing spirits, and what do? You fornicate. Did you get what I just said? Marriage to God fundamentally will first be the union between. That's why we've taught severally in scriptures. You see, that's why it's good to be a member of a local church, because we have a systematic approach to how we teach. Now, we did a series on salvation before I'm saying what I'm saying. So, what I'm saying now will not be new to you, because we've done an exhaustive teaching of over maybe 70 something tracts on salvation to explain Genesis to a large extent. And we said Genesis, Adam and Eve, is a figurative expression, whilst there was Adam and Eve, to teach about Christ and the church. We explained that from Ephesians 5. So Adam will be figurative for Christ, and Eve will be the church that comes out as a rib of Christ. And we said the rib is not a biological name. Remember that now. Bible wasn't written in English. Are we together? So what is marriage is honorable. Marriage between Christ and the church is honorable. It's God's plan. Now, when you stick with the message of your husband, which is Christ, your bed of your marriage is undefiled. Are you here? When you look for seducing or look for him or listen to Jezebel outside preaching a seducing doctrine, what happens? You associate with Jezebel. What are you doing? Fornication. Why? Because you are in a marriage union with God, with Christ. So when you take out from that, so it means, what is adultery? Adultery is when a man or a woman leaves the marriage bed because they feel like there's something that they are not being satisfied regarding in that marriage. So what do? They look for somebody else to start toasting, and they start what? Fornicating with. That's the same thing with Christ. Christ is the husband of the church. The wife is the bride, or the church is the bride. So when, now remember, Christ will be the husband. The wife will include male and female, which is the church, male and female. So it means that both male and female, as the church, we are not satisfied with the marriage we have with Christ. Then John in Revelation 2 is warning about Jezebel, who does what? Teaches and seduces with her. When I say her, is it female? Her or his? So can we say Jezebel is seducing with their teaching, and you, a male or a female, which is the wife of Christ, will look at seduction, be tempted, and embrace it. What is that? Fornication. Did I say there's no fornication? Beautiful. Right? So we need to understand. So what he now says in James 4, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Why did he call them adulterers and adulteresses? That's why Jesus would call them ye adulterous generation. He wasn't warning them about sleeping with themselves. James will now tell you, you are an adulterer because friendship with this world is what you've received as seduction. Then what does it do to you? You fornicate. What is that? You're an adulterer. Friendship with God is you are married with Christ. Goodbye, world. I stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest. So you are married with Christ forever. When Jezebel, which is a man or a woman, preaches a seducing spirit, that's why Timothy now tells you, speaking lies in hypocrisies. Then Paul now wants materialism, legalism. Are you here? Have you gone home? Hope you're learning something. So he says, there is such a thing as withdrawal. So when you now go back to Hebrews 13, he says, marriage is honorable in all. Did I say you and your wife is not honorable? I didn't just say that. I just said that the way Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, uses that marriage as honorable, he's speaking about a union between Christ the man and the church the woman. That's Christ the Adam and the church the Eve. That means Christ the church, and the church the rib of his rib, the bone of his bone, members of his flesh. So the church is the rib of Christ. Is that true? Is that true? The church is the rib of Christ. So when you see Adam fell into a deep sleep and God took out a rib, don't see rib. Remember, Moses did not have the knowledge you have. Knowledge has increased over the years. That is why Joshua would tell you the sun stood still. Is it not in the Bible? Joshua prayed and he declared that the sun should stand still. Which one is moving today? That means the sun was never moving. The sun is stationary, the earth moves around the sun. Now you know that because they've used what do you call it? Telescope and all those things to look in. They now say, oh, the sun doesn't move. Joshua did not have that knowledge that time. Joshua did not know this thing as brain, including Adam or Cain. Is you in biology now that say, remember, they never spoke English. Adam never spoke English. Jesus never spoke English. So they never knew this as brain. Whatever name they called it, I don't know. I wasn't living with them. Now together. So when you see Moses, who did not know about part of the body, rib, heart, liver, when he now says rib, it has a Hebrew word, selah, which speaks about the part or the side of a building, which we've explained to be the building, which is the temple of God. Are we together? So the church is the rib that... So what is temple? If you tell temple to a Jewish man, he understands it's a place where the supernatural and natural meets. So the temple of God will be a combination of where what? God and Christ, or Christ Jesus rather, and the church will meet and have fellowship. That's the temple of God. So that will be the rib of Christ's rib. We're teaching about the Antichrist, right? Don't lose track. Now together, you know, we try to make sure that every series we teach is an exposure to God's word and proper interpretation to God's word. Yeah? We can teach Antichrist. I can teach you Antichrist in 10 minutes. All I need to do is to go to what John says about Antichrist, and you just see, you actually see it in front of you that this is the Antichrist. But why are we going through 4, 5, 6 teachings before we say what we want to say? So that you have a proper understanding and you have a proper grasp in your mind to understand, so when that guy was saying the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, you know, we ought to explain God's word. That's why we have God's word. It ought to be explained. That's why I always say there's so much to learn in the church and as the church than to be giving room to frivolities. There's so much to learn in the church than to be giving room to frivolities. You know what frivolities are? See, we're building a church such that our frivolities are the things of the Spirit, the flow of the Holy Ghost. Right? Say, go to that church. Right? When you get to that church, right? If an average member will minister to you by God's Spirit, he will tell you your name, tell you your details, and tell you what God will have to do, and you go back home. Those are our frivolities. Those are our frivolities. Those were the frivolities of the church in Acts. There's so much to learn. Let me tell you something. If I teach this Bible every day, right, after 365 days, I will still teach this Bible, and you will learn something new. This Bible every day. Every day. Because we can't limit ourselves to quickie. You know what they call quickie services? All those brief services. Just go and just quickly get there. Your pastor just preach the word. Just 1 hour service. In 1 hour you sing praise. In 1 hour you dance. You come on. You remove your shoe. When the Spirit is in me. When the Spirit, you jump, you run. I go, they follow, you run. In 1 hour, you sweat. What happens after again? You are tired. Pastor take a testimony. You have been there, but you have one. A testimony. In 1 hour service, after 45 minutes, pastor comes. He's trying to beat 15 minutes. In that 15 minutes, they will still collect offering. Call Titus. They will still call Titus out and give them special prayer. And still call Sisoas out and give them special prayer. They will still share the benediction. And they will still dance to the Thanksgiving offering. 1 hour. How? Imagine you went to school and you were just having one hour per week. Listen to what I said. I just said 1 hour per week. When I mean 1 hour, just to teach. Do you think you'll be as solid as you are today? Some of us, they did us 5 hours tutorial. We didn't still get it. Some of us, they give us 10 hours straight one day to the exam. We still fail the exam. Do you understand? So if you cannot be a doctor, imagine you enter a plane. The pilot just says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just coming from the aviation school. And we just had 1 hour of lecture every day, or 1 hour of lecture once a week for about 12 weeks, and I graduated. You know, whilst I graduated, I have a spiritual covering, who is my spiritual father. And he said, you can do all things. And I took that bold step by faith and got on the crafts. I said, I'm going to fly this plane. You know what you do for me? You know what you do for me? Just sit down. Tighten your seatbelt. You say, tighten what? Tighten what? Tighten your seatbelt, relax and enjoy the flight. Except that flight is going from Abuja to Lagos on the road. It's a taxi from Abuja to Lagos. What will you do? You will be scared. You cannot submit your life to a pilot like that by faith. But you want to submit yourself to a pastor like that by faith, sailor. You cannot grow. Let me tell you. Well, that's a lie. You cannot grow with these short meetings we are having. You cannot grow. You cannot. You cannot. When will you have time to even learn that Jesus is the Son of God? You cannot grow. You cannot. That's why growth is not by laying on of hands. You grow by eating, by feasting on God's word. That's how you grow. How many of you, they lay down on you and you are this tall? And I don't want to eat while I'm growing. Just, pastor, just come and lay hands on me every day of the year. Until the end, wither. I was together. So, put your mind into God's word. That's why he says, a time will come, they will not endure. Why do you think I always like teaching long? It's not comfortable for me now. You think it's easy to stand for 7 hours and teach? Ha. 7 hours and be teaching. 8 hours and be teaching. It's not easy. Why do I do it? Because I want you to be better. I know you can't be better with 10 minutes teaching. You cannot. What will I say? You know, in today's teaching, I've been on this mic for maybe 1 hour, 30 minutes. You know, some metaphors I've touched. I've gone left, gone right, gone. That's the essence of the church. When your mind is renewed, your mind is renewed, your mind is renewed, your mind is renewed every day, every time. They asked a man called Martin Luther Jr. He said, they asked him, they said, why do you teach justification by faith every Sunday? He said, because his congregation forgets it every Sunday. Let me ask you, how many of you can remember the exact things I taught last week? Why do you need to keep hearing it? Repetition is what builds conviction. Some of you are still hearing some things today, right? When you leave this church, once they greet you and tell you, have a lovely week, you forget everything. Repetition builds conviction. 10 minute service. You don't have stamina. See, if your strength fails you in the day of adversity, you were never what? You were never strong. Forget muscle. Forget muscle. Don't build fake muscle. Build solid muscle. It might not show. It might not show. It's not showing now. Even my short sleeve, it's not showing. But build stamina. Stamina that when the devil comes, you cast out the devil. When you see a sick person, foul spirit out. No need to call pastor. Hey, pastor, I don't know the portion of scripture to use. They will beat you. Demon has not beat you. They will beat you. You will think you are in bus stop. They will. Don't let demon beat you, people of God. Be strong. They will beat you. You will think it's conductor. Before you pick your phone, before you will pick your phone like this, they've rushed you. When everything seems to be going well for you, give yourself to God. But I don't know why I'm saying this today. I thought I would have covered much more in Antichrist series. But I think this is for somebody here today. Right? Don't be very frivolous. Don't see God's word as. I can tell you for free. An average Christian who has grown up in Nigeria, not been exposed to God's word, might need to unlearn over 95% of what he has learned. I, as a person, before I can say what I'm saying today, I've had to unlearn over 90% of what I knew as a Christian doctrine. Because I found out they were all heresies. They were all, I was first one who was praying for people to die. Heresy. Fry pan to fire. I enter materialism gospel. Heresy. It means more, I wanted to build my nest around portals. Heresy. It means more, I wanted to. God's word is what it is. I'm not saying this thing to make you look like, see, I'm a very unique. I'm not unique. Oh. I've told you before, there's nothing I'm teaching that the Holy Spirit taught me. I'm not that connected to the Father. I don't have that fellowship with the Father. That's why you have a lot of nonsense on the people today. Because everybody feels like God has a unique message they give unique people. So how do we differentiate lie from truth? If every, you know, not every pastor is correct. I might not be the one that is correct too. But not every pastor is correct. A verse of the Bible cannot have several meanings. It's only one. It's either I know it or I don't know it. Else, when we go to the streets and we want to meet an unbeliever, and it says, explain Philippians 4:13. I do my own exegesis. You do your own. Who should he believe? He should merge it. Not every pastor is correct, though. Not every teacher of God's word is correct, though. There is the accurate. If everybody is correct, that means there's nothing like false teaching. If everybody that preaches God's word is correct, there's nothing like false teaching. Because how do you know I'm false? So you only know you are correct to the degree in which you can use scriptures. So for instance, I explained Jezebel in Revelation 2. We open up to three, four scriptures to explain seducing spirits from the same Bible. But imagine I went to Revelation 2, verse 8. The Holy Ghost told me that Jezebel is a fair woman. And I know some of you are very, you're always careful about people who are light-skinned. Sheila. Once you see someone that is light skinned and fine, you just feel like you are too fine to be a godly person. It's the way they programmed our mind in this Christian faith. So you have to unlearn. That's why I always tell you, if you pick Jaden, if you pick Ayo, if you pick those kids and expose them to God's word for 5 years with us, what they will do in 5 years, we might not be able to do it. Why? Because they don't have anything to unlearn. For us, some of you, you've been learning God's word in God's palace for years. Some of you still believe that they are doing your father's house. Some of you still believe they follow you to Abuja. But in the real sense, expose your heart to God's word. Else, the message of the Antichrist will take you without expecting. Remember, poison is never served alone. Hallelujah. Poison is never served alone. Praise God. Look at 1 Timothy 6. Matthew's Gospel 28. Look at first, going to 1 Timothy 6. I'll just quote Matthew's Gospel 28. It says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." It says, "Go ye therefore in that authority and preach to all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." That's Matthew 28. That's why we give ourselves to teaching. 1 Timothy 4. Are you there? 1 Timothy 6, rather. Did I say 4? 6, sorry. 6 verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, this is Paul. Galatians 1 says, if any man teaches anything contrary to what we've taught you, that means there's one truth of God's word and there's other truths. Only one person in Bible interpretation is correct, though. Saints, are you with me? It's left for you to determine who is correct. That's your own. But only one portion of the scripture cannot have several meanings. One portion of the Bible, a verse in the Bible, can never mean today what it never meant. Are we together? A verse of the Bible today can never mean today what it never meant. Why? Because the Bible was written to you. It wasn't written in English. It was written in a language that the people understood. Now, when those words were being translated, a lot of words were lost in translation. There's some words in your dialect that don't have proper English meanings, right? And some words in your dialect, you cannot interpret it well to English. You will just rugged it and throw it. That's the same way some words were not interpreted in the Holy Scriptures. And a lot of times, they've misled a lot of us. Like for instance, Psalm 2, like we always talk about, today is your birthday. Right? What do you need? What do you need? Name it. And we use it to teach people individually, today is your birthday, today is your birthday, today is your birthday. If every Sunday you come, they're telling you it's your birthday. No, Pastor, they mean the figure it exactly. Figure what? Figure it. So look at it figuratively. So it means that asking all nations will be what? not for you. Are you in chapter 6, verse 3? If any man teaches otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words. Now, wholesome words, is that similar to sound doctrine? Lovely. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is what? So if you teach what Paul did not teach, you are what? Paul told you ahead. You know, today, dear saints, God wants to expose the revelation to your heart that even Paul did not know. You are proud. What do? Pack your Bible and when Bible tells you, say, flee from the appearance of all evil. It's not, don't just be thinking fornication of a woman or a man. Flee from every appearance of all evil. Is don't submit yourself to Jezebel and her seducing teaching. Paul was so bold to say that if anybody teaches something that we did not teach, don't listen to it. Are we here? Let me ask you a question. Paul tells, imagine I tell you all, if anybody preaches what I'm not preaching, don't listen to it. If all of you have different things you are preaching about what I said, can all of you be correct? You can't all be correct. Because there's a warning that says, don't listen to what I did not preach. Paul says, if Jesus did not teach it, if Paul did not teach it, right? If the apostles did not teach it, it means we need to reinvestigate what you are saying. Let me now teach you carefully. So if Paul never thought of mark of the beast as a mark on your forehead, if Jesus never did, Paul tells you, if somebody preaches anything other, let him be accursed. So it means that if John in Revelation talks about the mark of the beast, you need to look at the mark of the beast in line with what Paul and Jesus had already taught. Anyways, he is proud. He says, knowing what? Nothing, but dotting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, reviling, evil, submissions, perverse disputing of men of corrupt man, and destitute of the truth, supposing that what? Gain is godliness. From such, do what? From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is what? What is Paul saying? Paul saying, if somebody teaches that a proof to know that God is with you is that you have money. He says what? Withdraw yourself. Are we together? They teach that gain is godliness. They teach that results is godliness. That's what I always tell you. You can be in God's will and suffer. Hallelujah. It's not a curse. The resurrection of Jesus did not come to sort out financial prosperity. At all. Nigeria as a country that is one of the top leaders of that teaching. Most of us pastors and Christians are poor. Most. You know I'm very careful when I say some. When I say a lot. When I say most. Most means most. Most of us that preach that prosperity message, our money doesn't reach anywhere. Even if we, our money reaches, our members, more than half of them. Let me give you these statistics I always give you. I'm not giving you anywhere. I always try to bring it to your mind. CBN came out with the news a few years ago. You remember the story now? And they said, in Nigeria, at the time, only 45 million Nigerians had BVN. At the time, our population of the country was about 190 million people or 200 million people. They said only 45 million Nigerians have BVN. They said out of 45 million Nigerians, only 2% had a cumulative of over 500,000 in their accounts. What is 2% of 45 million? 1% is 450K now. Abi? So now 100,000 is 2% of 45 million. Let's add an extra 100,000 and dash them for free. That means 1 million. That means their news says that by CBN, we have less than 1 million Nigerians that can boast of 500,000 and above out of 200 million Nigerians. Only, are you in the number? Am I in the number? Only 1 million Nigerians can boast. Now, take note, they didn't say 1 million Christians, though. That means 1 million Nigerians includes all our senators. All our ministers and governors. And their PAs and their secretaries. House of Rep. Babalawo. Mama Lawo. Sister Lawo. Cousin Lawo. Yahoo boys. When you put all of us together, 1 million, and we are talking nonsense and say that prosperity is by seed sowing. Shame on us. It's a huge shame on the church. With all the, so that means if you like gather 100,000 people in one service, if you have 200 people who are in that number, give praise to God. Because the remaining 1 million people that after we've moved senator and politician and everything that are Christians, what do? We have to share them across the churches now. That means if we're in God's palace and I can count, I should thank God now. It's a shameful teaching to teach that Christ died for money. It's shameful. It's shameful. He becomes more shameful when you think the Christ that did not die for money, you have to give him money so that he can give you the money he did not have to die for. We're just, everything scatter, scatter. It's the poor man that will still suffer. Are we together? You know, maybe, I don't know why I'm talking like this today, but it's the poor masses that is why in Nigeria, a lot of us, we still go to church because we're still holding on to that faith. One day, it go better. One day, it go better. It go better. It go better. One day. That's how millions have died. One day. That's how generations have passed. You know, there are some generations in this country that will never smell money. It's not a curse. Until we get the gospel into the powerhouse. I know that a man that distributes or that is responsible for the administration of the country has a conscience of God and has a sin. You know, it's difficult to be correct. It's difficult. It's not easy to be content. You know, God can bless certain people so he can meet the needs of others. Why didn't God choose others and leave you so that they can meet your need? It's not covetousness. Imagine I say God wants to bless you so you can meet the needs of your people in your group. Why didn't he pick them to bless so they can meet your need? It's just a covetous prayer. It is antichrist. Message that is against the work of Christ. And people have so welcomed this message to the point that nobody even believes eternal salvation again. A lot of people believe that you are saved up until you keep, somebody say, people say you are saved up until the point you keep confessing. Remember that story now? If you go to the 10th floor of a building and you jump down, can you confess I'm not jumping again? You can confess now. Will your confession change the fact that you're already in motion? Gravity takes over. Same thing with the gospel. Once you believe the gospel, the consistent requirement needed to keep it to the end of the time is, if gravity is more than you, God's power is more than you. So it takes over you. It takes over your person. And it maintains. So if you like, confess. Don't confess I'm not jumping and jumping again. Something greater than you has taken over. So when we say you are saved, that's why the church is the neutral ground where both the poor and the rich are brothers. Are we here? I'm your brother, you're my brother. You are not my brother because of the money you have. That's why it's my vision as a church that there will never be a time that only the rich would have access to the pastor. Are we here? It's an unfortunate reality right now. Not only people who have money to drop have access to the pastor. The church is the unifying ground for all men. Male, female, poor, rich, old, young. It's for all men. It says go into the world and teach all. Say all nations. Teaching them to observe all things that are commanded. Jesus taught for 40 days back to back. Yeah? And you know they still had itching ears. You know now? Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, he taught for 40 days in Acts 1, back every day, 40 days. When he finished his seminar, they came and said, "Oh God, we know you are the King of Kings. Is it Lord of Lords? We give you the title. But when again will you restore back the kingdom of Israel?" Why? Because at the time they had an imposter in power. What? So the Jewish guys, they were being ruled by the Roman guys. So they thought that Jesus was coming to oppress the Roman guys so that the Jewish guy would take over. So they thought Jesus was the man that would do it. So Jesus taught for 40 days. For them, for that to be the first question they asked after 40 days teaching, means Jesus never thought about political sphere taking over and all of those things we say. And even when they still asked him, what did he say? That is not for you. He didn't say politics is not for you. He's just saying that what I have come to teach you, what you are supposed to know with my resurrection, is not about who is the president or who is not the president. Why? Because presidency is won by how well you can convince the people or how well you can convince the ballot boxes. Sila. So politics is not God-made. Politics is strictly man-made. God's involvement is, what will you do with power when you are in power? Not how to get you. You know, the people flourish when the righteous are in power. Being the president doesn't mean you go and now say everybody must be a Christian. No, that's not God's will. It's that there is more availability of God's word in your sphere. Men need to hear the gospel and be saved. The gospel that if all your needs you are praying for are answered, will you still serve God? If all the things you are, if I ask some of you now to write a list of the things you are waiting on God for, if you write it down and everything is ticked, will you still serve God? No, those God are for those that are still upcoming. That is what the message of the Antichrist has done in the church. Remember, the Antichrist is a concept, a message communicated from the altar. So, dear saints, we are not waiting for any man from any other planet. Jesus never thought about that man. Paul never did. Peter never did. And you will see that John also never did. But we will see on Wednesday the consistency of who Jesus warned about. Jesus warned about false teachers. He warned about false prophets. Paul warns about false prophets, false teachers, and false brethren. Let's close in the writer of Antichrist's book. Look at 1 John. I close here. Are you in 1 John 2? Look at verse 19. Look at verse 18. 1 John 2:18. Are you there? Can we read together? Okay, hold on. Everybody, let's read together. 1 John 2, verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. Little children, it is the last time. Hold on. So, last time, is that last days? Last days is not a days we are waiting for. We are in the last days already. We are not in the last days because Russia is fighting Ukraine. Right? Bible tells you in Acts 2, saying, in the last day I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That was from the resurrection. So the moment Jesus died and resurrected, we entered last days. That's why John will tell you, he will say, little children, it is the that word there, last days, last times, similar. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall what? Even now, are there many? Does that summarize the teaching for you? I mean, the Antichrist has been from John's time. Are we together? There are many Antichrists whereby we know that it is in the what? Last days. Why would there be many Antichrists in the last days? Because the last days is about the resurrection of Christ, and the Antichrist message is a message that teaches against the resurrection of Christ. So once Christ had resurrected, we had entered the last days. So that anybody that teaches against the resurrection of Christ is the Antichrist in the last days. Are you here? Are you here? We have many in the world. That's John. This was over 1,000 years ago, right? Most likely. Now let's look at verse 19. 1, 2, 3, go. They went out. Now, who is he describing? The many Antichrists, right? They went out from. Is it they will go out later? They went out. Why? Because they were already in the last what? Days. So they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Hallelujah. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Careful, oh, careful. You know all things again. Can you know all things? You can't know all things. Who was the first man to get to space? Neil Rosford. They went to school now. Who was the first man to get to Spain with his family and came back? Neil Armstrong. He went to school. Who was the first person to become the president of the US? You know, book. Who was the 37th president of USA? Let me ask, who was the 44th president? Bala Mubarak. You know that one now, because CNN was working then. Who was the first people to fly a plane? Wright brothers. You know now, I see. Who was the first person to design a car? What? Why am I doing this? You can't know everything. You don't know everything. Henry Ford, that's the answer, but that's only you. That's only you. Are we together? So when he says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things, the all things you know will be in regards to the Antichrist is explaining. That means you can distinguish between the message of Christ and the Antichrist. All things is not anything. That's why when the Bible says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, you can't do all things. Disappear back home. No, just disappear back home. Right? Go up to the top of the building and jump. Go to Unam Daziku Airport and just be running on the wrong way now. And say you want to take off like a plane. I relocated to Canada. Can you do all things? No, you cannot. So it means that when Paul says I can do all things through Christ and Christ, do all things through Christ that strengthens me, he's not saying that should be your confession. Because he was talking about how he could eat and how he could behave himself when he had money, when he had food, and how he behaved himself when he didn't have money, when he didn't have food. So he's just saying, I can do all these things because Christ is my strength. Are we together? Same thing, all things are working together for my good. All those scriptures about all things, not about all things. Go and slap a soldier. Go slap a soldier. Sit down like this and just turn to a woman. You can't do all things. The list is unlimited. I said, so that means even when you read the Bible, it says with God all things are possible. It's not all things. You know now. Become a woman now. There's a context. There's a context. So when he says you have the unction of the Holy One, this is scripture that used to make people feel like, why did you go to school? Look at verse 27. Check your Bible, 27. The anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Okay, I'm anointed. And ye need not that any man teach you. Hey. He said you don't need any man to teach you. Why are you in school? Why did you go to school? That means he's not talking about any man at all to teach you because you're anointed. You don't need any man to teach you will be regarding the many deceivers, which will be the Antichrist that came out from us. That means you don't need those ones. You don't need to submit yourself to their Jezebelic seducing spirits or their doctrine. So he says you have the unction of the Holy One. You cannot do all things. What is pi in decimal? To the 20th decimal point. Say it. Say it now. What is pi? When I mean pi, I mean pi. For some of us that Sister President already started saying, hey, Pastor, we know. I'm not talking about you. Pi is the Latin. Yeah, that's 22 over 7. That's 3.14. Call it to the next 20 numbers now. Let's see. I thought you had the unction of the Holy One. It could not end now. So you just keep going now. We have the unction. Let's use the unction and be following you. So you have the unction of the Holy One is about the what? The message of the Antichrist. We'll look at that on Wednesday. Be around on Wednesday, okay? So he says, verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One and ye know all things. Remember, we've explained that. He says, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth. That means the all things you know is about the truth of the resurrection of Christ. That the Antichrist, which is Jezebel, should not seduce you with their doctrines of men. You get that? He now says, and you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He now says, who is a liar? Let's read verse 20 together. Who is a liar? 1, 2, 3, go. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ is Antichrist. That denieth the Father and the Son. I summarized our teaching, but I'm also going to teach extensively on Wednesday. Okay? Now look at chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians 2. 2 John, rather, the only user of the word Antichrist. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. It has just one chapter. 2 John 1, 7. Are you there? Let's read 2 John 1, 7 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For many deceivers are entered into the world. Not will enter, right? Many deceivers are what?
Entered
into the world. Who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver that is the Antichrist. So can we say this is a deceiver that is the member of the Antichrist union? Because the Antichrist is not a person, but a people that have a concept contrary to the concept of the resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. So a man who has received the message of Christ is forever saved. Any message that supposes that the work of Jesus is not enough is the message of the Antichrist. In him you are complete, you are saved forever, your sins are forgiven. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you have a new name. You are his beloved, his righteous man. He calls you holy. He calls you blameless. You've received the seal of the Holy Ghost. You are forever saved. You are forever secured. You are forever saved, forever safe, forever secured. Why? Because he is responsible for keeping your salvation. Bible tells in Hebrews 7:25, unto him, right, who says to the uttermost. God says to the end of time. Remember, I said something on Wednesday. God created time. So God lives outside of time. So when we say God says to the uttermost, it means God says to the uttermost, that is the end of time and the continuation after time. That's our God. That's the God we serve. No chip can undo that. Let them bring the chip, we'll take it. Before we take the chip, we already have the mark of the Holy Ghost. We already have the seal of the Holy Ghost. Let them bring the chip, we'll put on our forehead. See, if let me tell you ahead. Don't say I've backslidden. But the day they tell you that you cannot go to the bank without putting your chip on your forehead, I will collect it first. I cannot be suffering when I have money in the account. They say you should be scanning your POS with your forehead. I will collect it. As long as you assure me that the success rate after the operation is 100%, I will receive it. That cannot separate the Holy Ghost in me. Bible tells you in Romans 8, Paul tells you, he says, that's my conviction. He says, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's a persuasion. Nothing. He says, shall life, shall death, nothing. They've not created that thing. He says, not anything in this world, nor in the worlds to come, can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. I'm forever saved. I'm saved forever. My sins are forgiven. You see, that is what we rejoice about. Not 20 billion naira contract. That's huge, I know. But there's something bigger. You have something more than gold in you. You have the Holy Ghost in you. You can never be unsaved. God can never let go of you. You are not holding on to God. God is holding on to you. You don't have that power. We have an everlasting bond that the Father has bond with us. No matter what happens, go into unfaithfulness, he remains faithful. That's not an excuse to be unfaithful. But no matter what happens, that seems like a fall, God has forgiven you your sins. God's love is so overwhelming that nothing can undo it. He wanted men to be saved. He decided to do it himself. Now, I said that before. God did not send Jesus on earth and stayed afar for Jesus to appease him. No! The sacrifice of Jesus was not to God. It was to your conscience. God did not need any sacrifice. Instead, Jesus is God who put on flesh to die for you. That's the fullness of God as a man. To die for you. He said, I want them to be saved. How will I do it? Hey, I can't send an angel. I can't send this one. I can't send a spirit. Oh, I will come in the flesh. Let them see me. I will born of a woman. And I will grow. And I will be killed by men. And after 3 days, a prophecy. He said it and he did it. After 3 days, he resurrected. He shocked them. He said, where are they? Let them come. That's why the psalmist should tell you, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. What is let God arise? Let him come from the dead. Let his enemies. Who are the enemies? Those who killed him. Those who thought he would not rise again. There's enemies. Not people in your job. Not people at your work. Those who are the enemies of the cross. But he went. He dealt with death. He dwelt with death. That is God. And he said, I will rise up on the third day. He said, leave that task to me. I will rise up on the third day. Third day he arose. Even the disciples did not believe when he said it. He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. After he resurrected, he said, oh, that's the temple of his body. No matter what comes your way, no matter what you go through, you can never be unsaved. I'm not telling you what they told me that I'm trying to appeal to you. It is only logical to believe in eternal salvation. There is nothing that can separate you from his hands. Nothing, 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 nothing. I know some of you are thinking about it. Nothing. Pastor, what if I... Nothing. If it was you holding on to God, we can say something. Because you can say, I give up. But God, He's holding on to you. He's holding on to you. He's holding on to you. There's some of you here, if I hold, you cannot remove your hand. Some of you, if I hold, you will remove your hand. And some of you, if God can hold you, you cannot move. You know what John Cena is? Let Him hold you. So imagine God with the everlasting glue, the eternal glue. He comes as a man that whoever believes in that resurrection, just believe. For God so loved, eternal salvation is as simple as John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall. What's the word before not? Before perish? Not. Shall not perish. Shall not perish. Now, instead of giving us a promise, you know what He did to fulfill that? He now gave His Holy Spirit. What did He say? But shall have everlasting life. That's Psalm 91. With long life will I satisfy them and show them my salvation. Not long life, but that's why people, believers can die at 32, at 24, at 20, at 19. Because the long life God promises is a long life of the resurrection. Eternal life that surpasses mortality. No matter how your body decays in the tomb, no matter how your body decays in the grave, as long as Jesus rose again, you will rise again. Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if Christ never rose, then we are preaching in vain. To preach that the believer will not rise again is to say that Christ never rose. So you can't say Christ rose, I'm not sure if I'll rise again. No! He is responsible for that. He keeps you safe. No shaking. No shaking. When He does it, He does it. That, see, God flaunts His power by supplying the eternal glue that bonds you or binds you to Himself. Oh, He's a mighty God. How do we see His mightiness? We see that in the fact that He has supplied His Spirit, and His Spirit is in you forever. And despite inspire what the world says, you might not be rich, you might be poor, you might have money, you might not marry, you might have children, you might not have anything or so many things. They might deny you visa. Right? But this is the confidence we have that God is a good Father, a faithful Father, and He keeps to the uttermost. Say now to Him that's able to save us and keep us from falling. Jude 24. Are we together? He says He has given us the seal of the Holy Ghost. You can never perish. Oh, that is where we rejoice. So, what do we rejoice for in church? Not the contract we got last week. I can assure you, you might not get that contract next week. What happens when you don't get it? Depression slips in. Why? Because you don't derive your joy from what you ought to derive your joy, which is eternal. So what happens? They sack you. What happens? You have the Holy Ghost. They employ you. You have the Holy Ghost. They chase you out of your house. Quick notice. You have the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. Say, I'm born of God. In that first John, we see that on Wednesday. He says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. I don't know what will make me slip into depression. Depression. Tofiakwa. What's the name of that? Okay. That's a Greek word. Nothing can make me sleep. Depression. 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 Me. Depression. As what? No. I derive my joy from that work He has done. A believer doesn't have the right to be depressed. The reason why we get depressed is because we derive our joy from the things of this world that perish and they are temporary. A believer, there is no permission in the resurrection to make you depressed. You are forever there. You are forever there. No matter what comes your way. See, let them go. Let the most influential pastor in this world come and hold them back and say, salvation is not eternal. No, I believe God's word over him. There is no part of Jesus' scripture that suggests that a man can lose his salvation. Any word you hear or that's coming to your mind, it means you've not read it well. How will God come in the flesh? Come and give you something that you just, once you just lie small. Remember those days when I used to be very, very, when I used to teach those ridiculous teachings? You know, what will happen if as soon as you are just, you just lie and the trumpet should sound? Which trumpet? Which trumpet? Oh, you think there's trumpet? You think the angel will blow trumpet? Is the ignorance we've been built with? You know, Jesus will now go and meet God. God, in Jamaica, has already pressed the key. It's meant to blow air. Jesus will now say, you see, you forgot my blood. You forgot my cross. You say, please, one more chance. God will now say, okay. If not because of you, I'm seeing like this. Oh. No, God is Jesus that came to sacrifice himself to your mind. God did not need a sacrifice. The anger that was found between God and man was on the side of man. So God came to appease man. That's too good of a God. That God came to appease man. Man was the one that was angry and was thinking that God was angry. Yet God decided to appease man. To appease man. He says, man, man, man. That's why you see the psalm saying, who art man that you are mindful of? That you are mindful of man. Because it's like, how will God live his eternal existence and be killed? Eh? God died. Hey? Hey? That's huge. It is foolishness to this world, but it's the wisdom of God. You can never perish. Who is man that thou art mindful of? That even a little one at the angel. He says, when you've exalted him, he has given us a name. We are in that name. We are in that resurrection. The name is about the function of what he has done in the resurrection. We are in that name forever. We are forever secured. There is nothing, nothing, nothing. I'm not telling you because I want to sound unique. I'm telling you because God's word. God's word. God's word says they will never perish. They will never perish. He has given his Holy Ghost. For God to allow you perish, he has to remove his Holy Ghost. And the moment you can't remove it, God can't remove it. Because it's a greater power. Let me tell you something, dear saints. If God drops something on this floor, you can't pick it. You can't pick it. So you will go through life. There will be diverse kinds of temptations here and there. There are sometimes you will fall. Pick yourself up. Wear that consciousness. Remember that utterance? Wear that consciousness again. Oh, no, no, no. I'm God's child. I'm God's beloved. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God sees me through Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ forever. I'm secured. The sacrifice of Christ has been done once and forever. I can never perish. You get up and dust yourself and move on. Even if you're moving on, you might fall again. You wear that consciousness again. You say, no matter what comes my way, my life is in your... Remember that song? No matter what may come my way, my life is in... Let's sing that song together. You don't have to worry.